Hello and welcome to another episode of True Stories of Good People, a podcast brought to you by GoFundMe. In each episode, we sit down with someone who's making a difference in other people's lives or has had their life changed by someone kind. Okay, so unless you've been living under a rock, you've probably heard of and or seen Marvel's Black Panther, which came out in February of 2018. Well, my guest today, who is a self-described comic book nerd, was so excited to see it when it came out that he wanted to figure out a way to give kids who might not have had the opportunity otherwise to see it too. His actions kicked off a worldwide movement, and kids everywhere are getting to see themselves represented on the big screen. I'm here today with Mr. Frederick Joseph of the Black Panther Challenge. Not only did Frederick start a worldwide movement with his GoFundMe campaign, but he's also had a stellar year. He launched his own creative marketing agency, We Have Stories, which is doing incredible work amplifying stories that deserve to be told. He was included on the Roots 2018 list of 100 most influential African Americans, and he was most recently included on Forbes 30 Under 30 list for 2018 in marketing and advertising. Not a bad year, Frederick.
No, it's been a right year, to say the least.
How has all this success been for you?
I mean, to me, it's been humbling, and it's been an honor. But you know, I wake up the same way, drink out the same broken mug every morning, and it hasn't really changed much. I think that the level of access and the expectations with a platform have changed, though.
Nice. So have you felt like this has all been building up for a long time, or have things kind of really been snowballing a lot lately?
I mean, you know, it's interesting. I think, like most people who, I guess, seem like they're thrusted into certain experiences and, you know, receive certain access, I've kind of been the same person always, you know? So, like, when I was in high school, I was, you know, on the football team, and I was class president and things like that. And in college, I was class president and things like that. So, you know, I'm kind of used to people looking to me to be a leader. But, you know, in my adult life, I hadn't necessarily had these experiences, but I think that my younger self was prepared for it.
Nice. Mm. So I would love if you could tell us a little bit about We Have Stories, your marketing agency. Yeah. What was the motivation behind launching that?
So I think that for me, the goal has always been to use whatever skill set, talents, platform, connections to help other people. You know, a lot of my background is in cause-based work, nonprofit work, and, you know, things of that nature. But one thing that's always been very close to my heart is storytelling. I think that there's something in storytelling and how it, you know, manifests in various mediums, whether that's film, music, you know, literature, et cetera, that you can't necessarily replicate or duplicate in any other way. So I've always wanted to try to amplify that and the people who are storytellers and, you know, creators in that sense. So coming out of the Black Panther Challenge, We Have Stories just seemed like a organic way to continue kind of doing similar work while also marrying my expertise as a marketer. So, yeah, you know, that being said, we're focused on, you know, well, at least the nonprofit side of We Have Stories. We do act as a for-profit as well. The nonprofit side of We Have Stories focuses on providing pro bono work and services for marginalized content creators and storytellers who otherwise might not be able to afford those same services going to some of our competitors.
That is so cool. I really love what you guys are doing. So, speaking of stories that deserve to be told, that's why we're here today. So, in February of 2018, the much-anticipated film Marvel's Black Panther was slated to come out. So, let's jump back to when you personally first heard about the film and started to see some of the previews. How were you feeling?
I mean, for me, I'm a geek. So, when I first heard that Chadwick was playing Black Panther, I was super excited because he's a phenomenal actor, and I knew from that casting that Marvel was being intentional and thoughtful about who was going to lead, you know, that story going forward. And when I saw the first preview, I'll never forget, I was actually in my apartment, and I saw it on Twitter, and I, like, was yelling in the apartment, like, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for, you know. And I kind of decided then, I was like, you know, I think that it's really important that kids see this film. And that was maybe in November or October of 2017. I never expected what ended up happening, yeah. But yeah, so.
So aside from being a Marvel fan in general, what was it about this film in particular that was so kind of profound to you?
Yeah, so the universe that's created with the Black Panther is unlike, honestly, I think anything else in the comic world or just even in that kind of world of, you know, fiction and, you know, these epic stories, because one, you know, the story takes place in Wakanda, which is in this universe, the only place that wasn't colonized, yeah. You know, in Africa, which is a very powerful statement. Right. Yeah. And then it's like, you know, this sense of Afrofuturism. What could a country in Africa be, or what could countries in Africa have been had they not been colonized? Yeah. Right. And then, you know, on a deeper or rather on another level, parallel to that, you have a country protected by the fiercest warriors in the country, and the fiercest warriors in that country are all women.
Yes.
Right? You know, and that's a powerful statement. And then Wakanda is the wealthiest place on Earth. It's the most technologically advanced place on Earth. So it's kind of this complete contradiction to the stereotypes and archetypes that are built around African nations.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a very beautiful thing. And I just feel as though, for those who haven't seen it, you should see it and familiarize yourself with the story.
Yeah. So you started to see these previews and get really excited about it. What made you take the leap to think that you maybe should help other people go see it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, for me, when I saw the previews, I frankly was just going to pay for a few kids to see the film. I had spoken to a few friends. We're going to just put in some money and buy some tickets and donate them. And I had a conversation with my mother, actually, and she was mentioning GoFundMe. And she's like, oh, don't you think you could do this really well because you're a marketer? And I was like, yeah, but it probably takes a bunch of effort, you know. And I was on my couch one night, and I had just had a sleepover with my brother, who's 6 years old. And I was like, you know, there's a level of privilege that he has that I think even just donating tickets doesn't necessarily show the world the importance behind this film. Like, anybody could donate tickets, but if you can create something that people are engaged with and talking about, that's far bigger than just giving away tickets, then I think a lot of kids would be better for that. So that's kind of how that started.
Was there something about crowdfunding specifically that you thought was profound for this project? I mean, allowing other people to get involved beyond just yourself?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, going in, I didn't necessarily see it, but within maybe the first week and a half, I definitely saw it, because it no longer was me doing something. It was something that we were doing, you know, like the Black Panther Challenge and the original campaign as well. It's not my work. It's our work. It's literally a community that decided to support a community. You know, that's why I say every award that I've received, every accolade, recognition, really is shared by the thousands of people who got involved and the hundreds of people who made campaigns. So.
That's beautiful. I love that. So how did the setup process of the campaign actually go? Did you do everything yourself, or did you have other people kind of helping you and giving input?
No, to start the campaign, I kind of did everything on my own, design graphics, I wrote a strategy down in terms of how I was going to disseminate what, like, influencers I'll reach out to, things of that nature. And then as things started kind of growing, people had input, but there were key people. I was listening to their input over others. You know, like somebody mentioned, you know, kind of articulating more of a case for support, and they sent an article that they thought was really good. And I was like, this is great. I'm not going to just use this as a case for support. I'm going to actually put the article on the page so people should read this article, you know. Or even as things grew, the GoFundMe team themselves became like an absolute partner. You know, we went from me kind of like trying to do something to us partnering and collaborating on how we can make something life-changing.
Yeah.
So.
That's awesome. So when you're explaining your kind of launch plan,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty in-depth. Do you think being a marketer kind of gave you an an edge here?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, I can't deny that at all. So the Black Panther Challenge wasn't necessarily, and I wouldn't call the people's like campaigns fluky or anything like that, but it wasn't the answer to a problem, essentially, right? A lot of people will start something because someone passed away or because there's this major issue happening at that moment. And it's like whoever gets to it first to say, I have a campaign, be like, okay, like I've seen this everywhere. This is such a horrible thing. For me, I had to actually articulate why this was even important, right?
Yeah.
So to articulate why it was important and then have the kind of wherewithal of how to scale it as it was going along, you know? So for a lot of people, like, you know, in terms of media as a prime example, I was very strategic about what media I did and what media I didn't do, who I was writing op-eds for and who I wasn't writing op-eds for, all understanding that these things are the steps you take to grow this campaign, to, you know, increase awareness and to, you know, increase virality. And I knew that from being a marketer, you know. I think that some people have marketing acumen and, you know, have a special touch. But those are things I was very strategic about from my profession.
Nice. Yeah. Definitely showed. So when you set out to launch it, though, did you have any idea it would get as big as it did?
Not in the slightest.
Really?
You know, to be frank with you, like, not only did I not understand or think about how big it would get, I didn't think of the inherent way that it would platform me. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to bed one night and I woke up to legitimately 45 messages. They're like, hey, because I think the campaign was at like $5,000 and doing well. And I think Chelsea Clinton had just retweeted it and it had gotten to about $7,000. And I was looking for Tim. I woke up and people were like, hey, your campaign's at like $30,000.
Oh my God.
And they're like, you're on like everything right now. Like, what are you talking about? They're like, go on Instagram. So on Instagram and a bunch of media outlets had posted about me overnight. I looked at my phone and people were like contacting me to do like morning news almost everywhere.
Wow.
It was wild. And then I think the craziest thing, I was actually at dinner and Snoop Dogg had did like a video.
What?
Yeah, he did a video. He's just like, hey, like on his Instagram and on his Twitter. He's like, yeah, you know, this is the big homie Snoop. I just want to say, you know, congratulations and what's up to Fred Joseph out there in New York doing his thing,
what?
You know, supporting Black kids. I feel you. You know, you wanted homies now. And I was just like, okay. You know,
what was it like to see stuff like that out there?
You know, frankly, I was still like working my full time jobs. So I was like caught up in like other things. I was just like, oh, this is really cool. I just got to keep doing what I'm doing. And I always had my eyes on the prize, which to me was leveraging these things for more people to donate and engage. You know, even frankly, when I went on the Ellen DeGeneres show, the campaign was at least the Black Panther Challenge at that point had raised about $80,000. And a lot of people were like, oh, this was really good what you did. Even Ellen seems like, this is really good what you did. And like, that's a great thing. You should be proud of it. And I said, well, I think we're going to do a lot more. Like, oh, well, you know, like some people think that maybe you'll get like another $20,000. And like, I was like, no, you know, so we ended up pacing it to like another $850,000,
wow.
You know, so.
So by the way, you're on the Ellen show.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm pretty sure you got to go up on stage, if I recall, with someone pretty awesome. Who was that?
Yeah. Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther himself. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was cool.
What was that like?
You know, I didn't know I was going to be on the show. So
oh, wow.
I was sitting there and I'm just like, okay, that's really cool. They invited me to a taping of the show. And, you know, then all of a sudden they start talking about the GoFundMe and like all the work they've done. I'm like, oh, this is weird. And they're like, and we have him here. And they're like, Frederick, come downstage.
What?
And I'm just like, they're like, Frederick, come on. I'm like, okay. So I'd go and like, yeah, it was super cool. I think that I had, especially in terms of my career, I've done a lot of media training for people. So I kind of knew how to carry myself, I like to think.
Yeah, you did a great job.
Thanks.
I
appreciate that. So I kind of knew how to carry myself to a certain extent and really say sound bites to also try to help the challenge itself grow,
mm-hmm.
versus just being like, I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
Nice. So how much did your campaign and then the challenge itself end up raising in total?
So my campaign raised almost $60,000.
Wow.
And then the challenge in total raised over $950,000.
That is so... Let's take a moment to appreciate that, because just this one action, then you didn't even know it was going to get this big when you started, and you almost raised $1 million.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was life-changing for me, and hopefully life-changing for, you know, every child that benefited from it. I think that the best thing for me is that a lot of movie theaters and celebrities ended up, like, donating, and then people, like, picked up the Black Panther Challenge without, like, donating. I know, like, Gabrielle Union, Dwayne Wade just bought out theaters, and they, like, called it in the name of the Black Panther Challenge. They didn't, like, donate to anything. They're just like, we're buying out theaters.
Wow.
And then they donated to the Boys and Girls Club. So a lot of that took place. It just became, like, this movement that was larger than, like, anything that I can control or manage or monitor, you know?
Yeah.
So it was awesome.
That's awesome. So I wanted to ask you, mm-hmm. when the screenings finally happened, did you attend any of them?
Yeah, so I attended a few of them, actually. And the first time I saw the film was actually at a screening with the kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I got invites to do, like, screenings with, like, adults or whatever. And I was like, I think that it would be inauthentic and not really me to have my first screening be with a bunch of adults I don't know versus, like, the kids I was raising money for. So I did 3 screenings in one day on the first day of release.
Whoa.
And I saw the movie 3 times in that first day. But the first screening actually was really, really emotional, because I hadn't seen, well, one, I hadn't seen the movie, so I was just hoping that it was good.
Yeah.
And then 2, it ended up being, like, such a phenomenal movie outside of everything that I worked on.
Yeah.
And kids were so engaged. And, I actually got really emotional at the end, because kids were asking about Africa, and kids were asking, like, oh, how do you get to Africa? And, like, you know, kids had asked me if I'd been. And I was like, yeah, you know. And I was kind of talking about that. Oh, my God, I want to go to Africa now. And I didn't know Africa had kings and stuff. And
wow.
All these things that I wanted, you know. So it was a very powerful experience.
Were there any particularly memorable interactions you had other than the kids saying stuff like that, like a specific kid or something that said something to you?
Yeah, so I'm actually trying to, like, hold myself together right now. For those of you who can't see me, I'm like, whatever, kind of emotional. But one kid had thanked me. He's like, oh, I want to thank you for being a superhero. And I thought that he meant, No, I was like, oh, you know, I wasn't in the movie. He's like, no, I know. And
oh,
I was like, And I, like, had to legitimately, like, go to the bathroom. I was like, okay, I'm good.
That is so powerful, though.
It makes everything so worth it, you know, is I think that for anybody who's trying to do something in the world, it probably means a lot of late nights, early mornings, doubting yourself and things of that nature. So,
yeah.
You know.
So what did it mean to you to see all of your hard work pay off finally and then kind of go countrywide and then worldwide? Was it a feeling that you expected, or did it kind of grow bigger than you thought?
I mean, it's still, to be frank with you, it all happened so fast that I don't know that I've even kind of conceptualized it yet to this day. I think I need to take a step back maybe for, like, a year or so and just say, like, oh, okay, this was wow. But I was so proud because it was more of a reassurance in people than I expected, because people really understood, right? It wasn't just me saying, like, okay, I get it, why this movie is important for Black and brown kids to see themselves in these types of ways. People legitimately around the world said, we agree. And that meant something, like, we agree. And it is time for Black and brown kids, LGBTQ+ kids, women, people from the community of disabilities, like, so on and so forth, all these people to have their time in the sun, you know, and that was a lot for me.
Yeah, that's huge. So, Frederick, what's on the horizon for you? Anything cool coming up?
On the horizon. My last, I guess my retirement campaign coming up is the Captain Marvel Challenge, which I am very excited for. So Marvel, very smart of them to invest in women, as everyone should. Marvel is releasing the Captain Marvel film and is their first woman-led superhero film.
Yes.
And what makes this film special, not only is it their first woman-led superhero film, but Captain Marvel's actually been announced to be the most powerful of the Avengers.
That's so badass.
And not only she's the most powerful, but she also, in this film, doesn't have a love interest, or it's her her existence is not tied to any romance,
yeah.
Right? Not only that, her character is direct, brazen, unapologetic. And, like, even in the film, they don't, like, her background story is not, like, something stereotypical or problematic. She was a fighter pilot.
Yes.
And before she was a fighter pilot, she was a baseball player and a super athlete, right? And she's, like they said, captain. Like, this is about to be her world. Like,
yes.
You know, and I love that. And it's being released on International Women's Day.
I didn't even realize that.
During Women's
That's
History
so cool.
during Women's History Month.
That's awesome. So you're working on another challenge. Are
yep.
you leading this one?
I'm not. So for me, I very much believe in campaigns and anything, you know, in this world that you're doing that's external facing and internal things to be authentic. So the women from my agency are actually leading the Captain Marvel Challenge. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'll be behind the scenes helping with strategy and maybe being used as like an influencer on it. But in terms of like people being platformed and, you know, doing interviews and shows and things like that, it's going to be the women talking about the importance of women being platformed in that way and supporting young girls.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
Hopefully it can be even bigger than the other one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping so. I think this time it's a little different. my you know, even the concept of being used as an influencer is not something I would necessarily imagined a year ago. But things have changed a bit, so people are excited for it. And, you know, Brie Larson already tweeted out, like, about the Captain Marvel
what?
Challenge and the need for it. And even a tweet that I put out the other day about the challenge went viral, and you had over 5,000 people, you know, retweeted. And then we have a registration page on our website for those of you listening, www.wehavestories.org/Captain Marvel,
yes,
where you can register to get updates. And in the night, in one night when they just released the brand new trailer, we had 700 people sign up for updates for the Captain Marvel Challenge.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited to see this one grow.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm excited to see the movie.
Yes.
It's going to
yes.
be awesome.
Exactly.
So I'd love to know what you hope that our listeners today take away from hearing your story. I think that people who like the stories that we put out are the kinds of people who are always looking for ways to help or do nice things in the world. So what do you hope that people take away from what you've done?
I think that, you know, I tell people all the time, just plant a seed. And not every seed is going to become a tree, but every seed is going to grow into something, right? So just get out there. If there's something good that you can do, literally just do it. Whether like, and it could be on GoFundMe. It could literally be like holding the door for somebody. If we all do something good for each other, just one thing, just here and there, the world's going to be better, you know? And that's what I hope that people take from this story, that I was just me. I was just, you know, Fred Joseph, who wanted to do something nice, and something nice, I like to believe, became something great.
Thank you again to Frederick Joseph for being on the show. We are so excited to be a part of the new Captain Marvel Challenge. If you would like to either donate to help young girls go see the movie or help set up a movie screening in your area, you can visit www.gofundme.com/cause/Captain-Marvel-Challenge. Thank you so much for listening to True Stories of Good People, a podcast brought to you by GoFundMe. If you were inspired by today's story, please help us out by heading over to iTunes and leaving us a rating, a review, and subscribing to the show. And if anyone you know loves inspiring stories, please share our podcast with them. It means the world to us. Also, we love to hear from listeners, so if you have any feedback, suggestions, or questions, you can write to us at podcast@gofundme.com. And lastly, for more behind-the-scenes content, you can follow us on Instagram at True Stories of Good People and on Twitter at TSGPPod. Quick thank you to Studio West in San Diego, California, where this episode was recorded, and to our editing team at Cloud Studios in Seattle, Washington. We'll be back next time with more True Stories of Good People. Talk to you then!